Thanks for listening to the Red Bluff Vineyard podcast. Also check out our website, www.redbluffvineyard.church, and find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. If you want to stay connected more, also download the Red Bluff Vineyard Church app on the Google or Apple stores.
So about a year and a half ago, I was finishing up my last year in college, and I was a worship leader on campus. I was working part-time, and I was also working on my senior paper and my capstone project. And on top of all of that, I just got engaged, and we were wedding planning, and we were long distance, and so like I was experiencing a lot of new and exciting things, but at the same time, I was feeling an increasing sense of anxiety and fear and doubt. And like I knew God called me into ministry at a young age. I went to a Bible college in the Bay Area in LA, and I studied the Bible and worship and theology. And like this was my passion, and this is what I wanted to do for my life and make a living from it. But things started to change for me really quick. And I was at the point of like burnout from being a worship leader on campus. I dreaded playing guitar. I hated singing. I did not like going to rehearsals at like 6 o'clock in the morning. I didn't want to do anything with ministry at all. And I was really struggling with my relationship with God. And I felt as though like God didn't care about me. And going to church felt super uninspiring and unhelpful. And also at the same time, I had an interview for a worship pastor position at a church in Simi Valley. And I thought the interview went really well, and I thought to myself that, man, I'm headed to my dream job up in Simi Valley. This is going to be great. This is what my life is going to look like. But a few days later, I got a call from the senior pastor, and he said, basically, we're going to look for someone else. We want someone who has a little bit more experience. So on one hand, I felt really relieved because I didn't want to do anything with ministry or with God. But like on another level, I felt really, really hurt and rejected. Like my plans for the future weren't going out the way I expected or hoped for and planned for. And I thought to myself, man, surely God like turned his back on me. And so I started to do the same thing with God. I started turning my back on God and turning my heart away from him. And so this morning, I want to talk about what has helped me get through a very difficult season of my life and how I learned to reconnect with God and his church. And so, good morning once again. Welcome to the Vineyard. We're so glad to see all of you and to worship together this morning. My name is Riker. I'm the worship coordinator here, and my wife, Alicia, is the kids pastor. And we've been coming to the Vineyard for about a year and a half. And another fun fact, like Don mentioned, we're expecting our first kid next month, which is really exciting and scary. Yeah. And we also, yeah, thank you. And we also just had a baby shower here. And so once again, like thank you for all your support and generosity and gifts and all the baby clothes, and it's super cute. So we're in a sermon series called The Paradoxical Kingdom, The Tension of Following Jesus. And so last week, Luke talked about the tension of both the outward and the inward. So in other words, like mission, like evangelism, coupled with the inward life, like spiritual formation, like and soul care. And so this kind of sets up a discussion that I want to have today regarding the charismatic and then contemplative aspects of following Jesus. So real quick, a little bit about me. I grew up in Oakley, California. Anyone know where that is? Oakley? Yeah, it's about 45 minutes east of San Francisco. I have an older brother, and I have a younger twin sister. I'm 5 minutes older. And then I have another little sister. And it's cool, like we're all 9 years apart, which is really weird. So when I was about five, 6 years old, my parents got divorced. And our next door neighbor heard about the divorce, and so she invited us to go to her church. And so my mom took us to church, and it was there that she got radically saved. And then ever since then, she's been following Jesus, and she's been a pastor at that same church for about over 15 years. And so I grew up in a small Pentecostal charismatic church, in Oakley, and I was exposed to like all the Holy Spirit stuff, like by show of hands, like, are you guys familiar, like speaking in tongues, like miraculous healings, or words of knowledge and of prophecy, and prophetic stuff, and like, how about flag waving? Flag waving? Any Luke? Flag wavers? I've seen like people running across the sanctuary waving flags, and it was really funny actually. And how about the tambourine lady? The tambourine lady? Yeah. How about people falling out at the altar? Like when people are praying, they're just on the ground. Is that just me? Okay. How about Holy Spirit laughter? Is that a thing? Is that even biblical, Luke? Just talk to Luke about that. And also powerful moments of praise and worship. But one of the things I really, really appreciate about the charismatic tradition is the emphasis on the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. But what happens when you don't experience the Holy Ghost goosebumps? Or you don't have the Holy Spirit hype when we're singing and when we're praising? What do you do when prayer feels more like a chore than a delight? And what do you do when the sermons don't resonate with you? And what do you do when you don't like going to church like me? Because the people irritate you or you name it. And what do you do when God feels far away? Like, what do you do when following Jesus feels really, really dry? Or when you feel disappointed with God? You see, I'm all for experiencing like the Holy Spirit and like the emotion that comes from it. But one of the challenges of following Jesus today is, one, welcoming and desiring the presence and the power of God, while also cultivating a spiritual depth that can sustain us through all the seasons of life, right? And so the time when I graduated from college and entered the workforce was one of my most challenging and difficult seasons. And I was really struggling with my relationship with God. And I was doubting his goodness and his faithfulness because I just couldn't see him and my plans for the future weren't really turning out the way I hoped for. And I really doubted that God really cared about me or was involved in my life. And I thought I was doing something wrong with my relationship with God. And so one of the paradoxical aspects of the kingdom of God lies in this tension between the charismatic and the contemplative. And so I would define charismatic as simply just embracing Holy Spirit stuff, and there's an emphasis on the Holy Spirit, and like think Pentecostalism, Assemblies of God, that kind of tradition. And I would also define contemplative as embracing the spiritual life. There's an emphasis on spiritual formation, like soul care, and Luke kind of talked about it last week, but monasticism in monasteries. And so when it comes to managing the tension of being like charismatic and contemplative, we often overemphasize one of them to the neglect of the other one, which is exactly what I did in my frustration, my experience. And so when this happens, we're missing out on a healthy and a holistic and sustainable spiritual life. And so, for example, when we overemphasize the charismatic stuff, it's very easy to get disappointed when you don't get the Holy Ghost hypes or that emotional experience. And if you're anything like me, there's numerous times when you just don't feel God around you. Like you feel the ache of disappointment, both with God and like yourself. You begin questioning yourself like, man, am I even doing this Jesus thing right? Am I doing this? Like I'm not really feeling anything when I read the scriptures, or I'm not feeling anything when I'm praying or singing in worship. And so my joy and my faith ebbed and flowed based on these emotional experiences and these outcomes. And this type of spirituality and discipleship won't sustain us throughout all the seasons of our life. And another issue with overemphasizing the charismatic Holy Spirit stuff is that sometimes lacks spiritual depth. And so I want to share a really quick story. So about a year or two ago, I went to a Pentecostal charismatic church conference. And the speakers are very, very cool. inspiring and funny, and the music was great, really cool. But there was one speaker there that I'll never forget. And the main point of his sermon was this: God wants us to be eagles and not chickens. In other words, God is calling us to higher and greater things, and he wants us to stop pecking around and start soaring in life. Yeah, yeah. And here's the type of preacher who would basically yell and shout his sermon, right? He would basically yell the whole time, and if he said anything remotely profound, he would kind of prod the audience for an amen. He'd be like, "That deserves an amen. Amen." It's kind of weird, but funny. But the most interesting part of his sermon, or the end of his sermon, was the ministry time. Because by now, the eagle and the chicken illustration was so deeply lodged into our minds that the only reasonable and appropriate response was to sing "I Believe I Can Fly" by R. Kelly during ministry time. Like, you see a whole bunch of people in the altar just like, "I believe I can fly," and just like praying for each other. Yeah, it was really funny. And so, like, I believe that God wants us to be the best version of ourselves that he created you to be. But like, eagles and chickens? Like, really? So on one hand, we can overemphasize the contemplative stuff too. And so one of the issues with that is that we often prioritize the how of the spiritual practices instead of the why behind them. So in other words, we replace relationship with religion, which is legalism. And so the whole point of the contemplative stuff is to become more like Jesus and to enjoy his presence. However, like in my experience, and maybe some of you, I thought that if I prayed more, or if I was more consistent with my devotions, or if I listened to more of Luke's sermons, maybe God would be more pleased with me. But this type of legalistic theology and approach to discipleship isn't healthy, nor is it what we see modeled in the scriptures. And so the Bible helps us understand what it looks like to live in this tension of the charismatic and the contemplative. And the Apostle Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 22, "Always be joyful, never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not stifle the Holy Spirit. Do not scoff at prophecies, but test everything that is said. Hold on to what is good, and stay away from every kind of evil." And so we see the charismatic side that Paul talks about. He says, always be joyful. Don't stifle the Holy Spirit. Don't scoff at prophecies. And then we also see the contemplative, like never stop praying and to be thankful in all circumstances. And so one of the distinguishing marks of the Vineyard movement during the worship services, it's marked by the sense of joyfulness and emotion and fervor and enthusiasm. It's because they encountered the presence of the living God. And we should desire and expect the power and the presence of God and the Holy Spirit, not only within the walls of this church, but also in our lives. And also, one of the challenges for me when it comes to prayer is that I often feel defeated when I pray, because I don't know if you're like me, but I've been taught that everything in the universe is set, so you can't change stuff, right? So if we can't change anything in the universe, then why should we pray at all? Like, prayer won't make a difference, right? But we see throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament that when the people in the Bible prayed, they prayed as though their prayers could and would make an objective difference in the course of events. See, your prayers and my prayers, they matter. And we can change the course of events, and our prayers make a difference. And Richard Foster, this amazing theologian and writer, he says, "Prayer catapults us onto the frontier of the spiritual life. And of all the spiritual disciplines, prayer is the most central because it ushers us into perpetual communion with the Father. And I just love that phrase, perpetual communion. Like you see, prayer is this ongoing fellowship with God. And in the language that Jesus uses, it's abiding and remaining with the Father. And so just to kind of end here, I want to share four practical ways to live in the tension of being both charismatic and contemplative. And so number one is to commit to being in community. So when I first moved here to Red Bluff, honestly, I didn't have a lot of friends here. It was really hard. But when I started getting more plugged into the church here, and I started serving on ministry teams and joining core groups, that's when I really started to develop friendships. And I don't know if you guys all know, but Art Sandberg, I don't know if he's here this morning, but he really meant a lot to me. Like, we would just have conversations, and just knowing that he was praying for me, and he always gave me a hug when he saw me, like, that meant so much to me in his friendship. And also Wesley and Irene, we all know Wesley, Irene. Yeah, and like their friendship meant so much to me. Wesley and I, we would go work out at Fit Republic, and we'd work out together, and we'd talk about like marriage and theology and life, and go over to his house, and we'd share a meal with Irene's amazing cooking. Her potato taquitos are really good. Yeah, and so I think that it's really important to commit to being in community, like sharing meals and having honest conversations with friends, because it's really helpful when you're struggling with God, because they can be that support and that encouragement for you. And number two is prioritizing Sabbath and rest. So you can keep practicing the spiritual disciplines like reading scripture, praying, silence, and solitude. So keep doing those, but you don't need to overdo them. And I like this phrase, like, start where you're at, not where you should be or we want to be. You see, following Jesus isn't about legalism, but rather it's about learning to be loved by him and led by him. And Jesus said this in Matthew 11, and this is the Message translation. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. And number three, choose gratitude in all circumstances. And Paul says to be thankful in all circumstances. And so the first place that my wife and I lived in when we got married was in Derryville. Everyone know where Derryville's at? Yeah. So we lived in this really small studio. Like, I don't even call it a house. It's like a room, pretty much. And it was probably like a quarter of the size of the stage. It was like really, really tiny. And it didn't have a dishwasher, which meant I was the dishwasher. It didn't have a washer and dryer, so we had to go to the laundromat all the time to wash our clothes. And it only had like hot water, like when we took showers, for like, it only lasted for like 2 minutes. So after the 2 minutes, the water temperature stayed at this really like uncomfortable, like lukewarm feeling. So, but one time my in-laws asked Elisa and I to house it for them for about a week. And it was the best week of my life because they had a dishwasher, they had wash and dry hookups, washer and dryer, and they had hot showers that lasted way longer than 5 minutes. And it was amazing. Like, I never realized just how glorious and awesome hot water is and having a dishwasher and all that stuff. And so I was so thankful for their convenience that these everyday appliances offer. And so Elisa and I, we just moved to a newer apartment, and where we can take showers that last longer than, like, the hot water lasts longer than 5 minutes, but we still don't have a washer and dryer or a dishwasher, unfortunately. But nevertheless, I'm going to choose to be thankful in all circumstances because God has blessed me with so many amazing blessings, like my wife and my family and this church, and you name it, you know, find a list for yourself. And so even in, like, difficult or unfavorable circumstances, like a lukewarm shower, like, we can be thankful. And last is find the good. Find the good. And so I was disappointed that I didn't get that dream job in Simi Valley. And I don't know if you guys know, but there's a lady here named Terry Dean. She has this campaign, or, like, this saying, I guess, is find the good. And she has, like, this merch stuff, these little bracelets and t-shirts and mugs and stuff. It just says find the good. And I think that saying is super helpful for us to live in this tension of being both charismatic, Holy Spirit stuff, and contemplative, like soul care stuff. And it's a perspective shift that helps us trust God in all the hard seasons. And so, looking back, like, I'm glad I didn't get that job, because I can see all the good that God has brought from it. Like, I'm closer to my family, I'm part of a wonderful and amazing church, and I can see how God was developing me and refining me. And so, just to summarize, there's a tension, paradoxical tension, between the charismatic and the contemplative. And the scriptures show us that following Jesus is learning how to lean both in the charismatic and the contemplative. And so some practical steps would be to commit to being community. So find friends, share meals together. Prioritizing Sabbath and rest. Don't overdo it. Number three is choose gratitude in all circumstances, even with lukewarm showers. And last is to find the good. And so, can we all stand together?